How are you doing, everybody? This is AJ Torres of Calling Strikes, courtesy of Undrafted Sports. And today, I call this segment the Left Field Fan because I want to relate a story. And that is, you have a guy who is born and raised in Danbury, Connecticut, the last couple of years worked in the state of New York. You have a guy that's a Yankee and Ranger fan, which is a given. But you also have, if you can tell by the video, I got a Pacer hat and a Pacer jersey on. Yes, it's an Oladipo. I digress, but I don't regret it. But I'm also a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Now, this is about the fans that it doesn't matter where you are. And yeah, it can be difficult with rivalries. Like, you know, there's some Cowboy fans in Philadelphia. But then there's sometimes where it's just like, hey, man, I'm rooting for the local team. And unless you're in a place like in dead center of California where there's like five teams, everyone kind of looks at you and you're like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I could say, McKenna, I got to thank you for being on. Without you and Matt, I would not have any thought about being in front of this webcam and microphone. So I guess I'll give you the floor, man. Tell us the intro, any shout outs, and, you know, name your teams.
Yeah, so I'm Akana. I help found Undrafted Sports, but I run TTB Ravens Media on YouTube, part of the Trust the Bank podcast. Also was part of the Worst Take podcast. It's getting completely rebranded. It's taking way longer than what it should have taken. It's being rebranded to Football Then and Now, which will be a historical and current football comparative analysis show slash you know, video series on YouTube and podcast platforms. But yeah, so I grew up Portland metro area, Oregon. And I am a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. And I am an Atlanta Braves fan. Those are the team, and a Stanford football fan, sports fan for college sports. And this story, starting off on why I became a fan of those teams, it has to go college first. Growing up, I kind of watched basketball, but like nobody in my family was like a big basketball fan. And so like, you know, if the Blazers were on or whatever, like maybe my dad would put it on the TV and I would watch. You know, I loved watching Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge and Rasheed Wallace, I believe, played for Portland. Like those guys, loved watching those. I remember going out to I actually saw Kobe and the Lakers play against the Trailblazers when I was in like first grade. That was really cool. Like I always kind of enjoyed basketball, but it wasn't something where it was like, oh, I gotta follow basketball. Whereas like mostly because it's also an everyday thing. Like it's way harder to keep track of, especially when you're like, you know, 8 or 9. And you're just like, and basketball is just always on. And, you know, we didn't have like NBA League Pass or whatever. So it was just like, yeah. Oh, it's on. So I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I'd read the newspaper, look at the box scores. One of my favorite players was like Rajon Rondo. Loved that guy. But then in terms of football, I always loved football because my family's much bigger into like college football, that kind of aspect. But there's a day. You know, I always knew on Sunday, on Monday night, you know, I'd be able to watch football. So that's what I kind of started off as. And for me, like I said, my family is much bigger into college football. My parents are divorced, but my dad's side of the family, my grandfather went to Stanford. My grandmother went to Stanford. They met at Stanford. My oldest uncle, my oldest aunt on my dad's side both went to Stanford. And then everybody else, there's like five siblings. They all went to much smaller schools. So no school, like my dad went to Santa Barbara, not a school with a major, you know, sports program or anything like that. But so, you know, we all just root for Stanford. My mom's side of the family all went to the University of Oregon. And I typically would watch football with my dad as a kid. And I would always root for Stanford. And then, you know, my parents got divorced, you know, whatever. I lived with my mom on, you know, Wednesday through Saturday, lived with my dad, Monday through Tuesday. So Saturday was college football. Obviously Sunday was NFL. So I was with my dad, Sundays, NFL, with my mom, college football on Saturdays. And, you know, I was a big Stanford fan in a family of Oregon Duck fans. And as a kid, a massive rivalry started between Stanford and Oregon, because Stanford and Oregon were not like traditionally great programs. They had success in the past, but all of a sudden, Oregon got Chip Kelly. Stanford got they got Jim Harbaugh, and they brought in Toby Gearhart and these guys, and the rivalry was actually created. They were both every year they're trying to compete for a championship. And so for me, as a Stanford fan in Oregon, so obviously everybody's a Duck fan, and I got to be honest, there were, like, no Beaver fans. Like, yeah, people said they liked the Beavers, but, like, they sucked so bad that they would just, like, not, people didn't really say, they'd say they rooted for the Beavers, but, like, if you were a Beavers fan, you didn't really watch college football because it was just really sad. Maybe you watched baseball. They were good at baseball, but, so – every time it was always about Stanford versus Oregon. And I was such a big Stanford fan. I still am. I'm a massive Stanford fan right now. I go to Cal Poly, shout out Cal Poly, but small school, not a big sports program or anything like that. So I was still able to be a Stanford fan, but like as a kid, I was so invested in Stanford, and I hated the Ducks with a passion. I may hate the Oregon Ducks more than I love Stanford. I would watch every Duck game. I would watch the Oregon Ducks go up against Western Michigan. And I would be like, and Western Michigan, they'd be up. They'd be up like 14-7. And I'd be like, this is the chance. This is it. And I hate it. And I would talk so much trash. I'd be like, yeah, there's no way they beat Western Michigan. They're horrible. And then of course, this is the 50-point a game Ducks, and they'd win like 75-14, of course, after I started talking trash. But like, I would always talk trash. I hated the Ducks. Their fans were so cocky, so arrogant, and it was so frustrating. And my cousin, who obviously grew up a big Stanford fan, he ended up going to Oregon. And he was like, so he would kind of go and, I remember we went to a game, and he was there when he was at Oregon. I think it was probably freshman year of his. And he's kind of wearing both stuff, and he was kind of rooting for the Ducks, kind of rooting for Stanford. And then after a while he was like, these guys are annoying. Like now he's like a Stanford fan. I think he probably roots for the Ducks still a little bit, but I think he's just like, yeah, I just root for Stanford. Just like, I think he realized like people are just, the Duck fans are the most annoying fan base in the world. Nobody can tell me differently. Whether it's the Eagles, the Raiders, Manchester United, the Yankees, nobody is worse than Oregon Duck fans. I hate Oregon Duck fans.
So we might have to have another video of who is the worst. Hold on. I am writing this down. We're going to have to table this because that could easily be an hour, okay? And let me tell you something. As a Yankee fan, I will say I hate a lot of Yankee fans. I mean, it's a little biased me hating the Raiders, but I mean, come on. They beat each other in their own parking lot. And by the way, I don't see, of all the times where they show the cameras where there's these people in costumes, have you noticed something? I don't see any women in those costumes and in the front row they shine the cameras on. It's all just a bunch of men that beat each other up in the parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's so.
But the Eagles, believe it or not, have calmed down, man. After they won the Super Bowl, it's calmed down because they used to boo more than they cheer. And that's all Team Philadelphia in all four major sports.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of bad fans, but I will die on the hill that the Oregon Duck fans are the worst. And obviously I grew up in Oregon. So almost everybody that knew me knew that I was a Stanford fan. I would wear the Stanford sweatshirts, the Stanford shirts. I think I got a Stanford national championship soccer shirt in there in my closet. I think I got a Stanford sweatshirt in my closet right now. All I would hear is, Oregon, we're just so good. And I just hated them. And so obviously Portland being, kind of close to Seattle, most of the fans were Seahawks fans. That was just the closest place. That's what most people were.
So by default,
I hate Seahawks fans because every Seahawks fan I grew up with
was a Ducks fan.
I was friends with a couple of Seahawks fans, but like every football fan I grew up with was a Duck fan and a Seahawk fan.
I knew
and
it.
And I just correlate both of them. God. And I just cannot stand
it. I hate Seahawks. Wow. So you think that they're cut from the same cloth and are both just terrible?
That's the thing is, I don't know. People from Seattle may not be that bad. But then the other thing is I also, as a kid, I used to root for the Portland Timbers. Massive rivalry between the Portland Timbers and the Seattle Sonics or the Supersonics in soccer. And I was never like, you know, that's a big rivalry. Like Portland and Seattle are like just rivals in general. But like all the Seahawks fans I grew up with, I just couldn't stand. You know, they were just so cocky from being a Duck fan. It translated to their Seahawks fandom. That's all they would ever talk about was just how great they were, how they were on top of the world, you know, because all those national championships of the Oregon Duck football team that they got to brag about, which is zero, by the way, zero championships, zero. But, you know, they're still the most arrogant people ever. Going out there saying like, oh, we would destroy Alabama. Well, they played LSU week one year and they got absolutely throttled by LSU. They played Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. They got throttled. So, you know, they talk about so much success. And so that all the Duck fan teams, all the people that were Duck fans, all their favorite teams, I could not be on the same side as them. So as a kid, I liked the Trailblazers. I did. I would root for the Trailblazers. It wasn't like, you know, like I said, I didn't watch a ton of basketball.
It was more like a casual set-in type of thing, right?
Yeah. It was like, you know, I enjoyed watching basketball. It was just not like, it wasn't something where like nobody in my family like made a point to turn it on the TV. And at, you know, as a kid, you know, back then, you know, it wasn't like I didn't have an iPhone. I couldn't just follow ESPN at all times. I'd read about it in the paper. So I read about, you know, the guys that I really liked as a kid in basketball. I loved Rondo just because I honestly, most of my things as a kid was all box score. I didn't get to watch a lot of games. So I always said, like, I liked the Celtics. I liked the Lakers. I loved watching Kobe. I liked the Blazers, but it was like I just couldn't be, like, a huge Blazers fan. It just couldn't work. The people, they were the same people, the same Duck fans or Blazers fans, and I couldn't do it. And so eventually, I'll talk about OKC first, then I'll get into Baltimore. I've tried to think about this plenty of times. I don't know when I became an OKC Thunder fan. I honestly couldn't tell you. I remember, what I do remember is, I believe Kevin Durant was the guy. That's why I'm an OKC fan. I know it's because of Kevin Durant. I don't know the year. I don't remember watching OKC in the finals, so it may have been after that. But then again, like I couldn't really watch a lot of it. It wasn't just something that was on my mind. It just wasn't something that I thought about all the time. So maybe I did watch it. It just wasn't like I didn't follow it a ton. I remember starting to like really get into it. It was probably 2014 was the first time I really remember like making a point like, oh no, there's an OKC game on and I didn't have League Pass or whatever. So it was like, this one's on TNT so I could watch it. I would be like, I gotta watch KD. So you're like,
boom, gotcha.
Yeah, so once I started to get into that mindset, and I think it was probably around 2014. I don't know when exactly I became a fan, but I remember I was like making a point to watch OKC in probably like 2014. Honestly, it might have been 2012. I do not remember the exact time. I've never been an owner of basketball jerseys. I just don't really like to wear them. I don't know. They just don't fit on my body. I love football jerseys. That's my thing. But yeah, so I became an OKC fan. And it was strictly because of Kevin Durant. It honestly wasn't because OKC is a rival of Portland. That honestly never crossed my mind. Like,
but some people probably asked that, right?
Yeah, some people think because I tell the story about hating Portland, and it was like, it wasn't because of that. It was just because I loved Kevin. I still love Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is probably my favorite basketball player of all time. Between him, Westbrook and Kobe. I know KD I have higher than Westbrook, which OKC fans don't like. It's really between him and Kobe. Young LeBron. I don't know. I also did love LeBron as a kid until he left for Cleveland again. I loved him. I loved LeBron in Miami. I didn't like when he went back.
Understood. But just remember, if he never leaves, he never wins a ring there.
Exactly. And so that's how I became an OKC fan. Just like me loving a player. That was. It's kind of funny. All of my different things are all different. I was born into Stanford. I became a huge fan of Kevin Durant. So that's why I became an OKC fan. In terms of the Ravens, another one, I don't know. I don't know when I became a Ravens fan. I can always remember being a Ravens fan. I have no relationship to Baltimore. As a kid, I didn't know anybody from Baltimore. I don't know, but I do remember, my favorite color as a kid was purple. I still really love that color. So I'm assuming that had something to do with it. But the first Ravens game I remember watching was Joe Flacco's rookie year in the playoffs. I believe it was against the Steelers. I'm pretty sure it was. I was already wearing a Steve McNair Ravens jersey. So I can guarantee I was a Ravens fan before that game. Like, I remember bringing it on a trip because I believe I was in I was in California at my family's house or at my cousin's house celebrating like Christmas or something like that. And, you know, they had maybe it wasn't even a playoff game. Maybe it was a Ravens Steelers game before the playoffs. And then they played in the playoffs. I just remember it was Flacco's rookie year. I had a McNair jersey. So I was a fan before Flacco. Obviously, I wasn't a fan in like 2000. That's when I was born. So for me, the Ravens fan thing, that one I always remember being a Ravens fan. Like, I always liked players. One of my favorite players of all time was Peyton Manning. Like, I liked him. I would root for him. But, like, it was always the Ravens. But I don't know. I literally don't know. I never knew a Ravens fan. I was just a Ravens fan. It's so weird. No, it's not like some Stanford player went to the Ravens or anything like that. My assumption is I was probably just a big fan of Jamal Lewis, probably would be who I like. Cause I remember liking Jamal Lewis, and obviously Jamal Lewis played for the Ravens only in the very early 2000s. So I think that was the first guy I really liked. Cause I remember liking, obviously I liked Ray as well, but well, I just remember talking about Jamal Lewis. But you know, the problem is I can't differentiate when I talked about Ray Lewis, cause he played there, you know, forever. But Jamal Lewis, I remember talking about him as a kid. So at least I know that was early 2000s. So I was pretty young and I liked him, and I don't know why. It's not like they were on primetime all the time. It's not like it, on the West Coast. I got to watch a lot of Ravens games. It's just very strange. So for the Ravens, I just kind of always remember being one. And the benefit is there isn't a football team in Oregon, so it kind of works. Like, yeah, there's Seattle, but like when people ask you about Seattle, I just say I hate them. I hate them with a passion. I can't stand Seattle. And I hate when players that I like go there, like DK Metcalf and things like that, because then I have to root against them.
Yeah, it does. I do hate that. Like, this recent draft, Alex Leatherwood, who I thought could have been picked late. Now, mind you, everyone's saying and everyone's looking at the tape and they're like, that was a reach. He could have been taken in the second or third round. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm okay right now. I've made peace with it. Do I hate the concept of what happened? Yes. But I am at peace with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing because, you know, as a big college football fan, like, you know, being a big Stanford fan, like, obviously I like the players when they get to the NFL, Andrew Luck, Christian McCaffrey. My favorite college football player of all time is Andrew Luck, but loved Christian McCaffrey.
How can't not be?
Bryce Love. Love all those guys. But once they get to the NFL, they ever play, I'm like, it's like, yeah, I root for them. I watch them. But like, come on, I'm watching the Ravens over them every single day of the week. In terms of baseball, though, baseball's new. For me, I didn't grow up in a baseball family. I think most people that end up watching baseball in their life typically come from like a baseball family. I never really played baseball. I played 1 year of baseball. This is a funny story. I played 1 year of baseball.
You were
it
a kid?
Wasn't or... T-ball as a kid. It wasn't T-ball. I mean, I probably played T-ball as a, like a really little kid. I don't count that as like playing baseball. That's like showing up at a gym. But I played 1 year, you know, outdoor baseball with. This was still when the coaches would pitch. You know, I was still young. This was probably elementary school. Your coach would pitch to you, and I remember I was on. Actually, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I played 2 years of baseball. I don't know. 1 year I was probably forced into it. My dad was my coach 1 year. And funny enough, my stepmom was also the coach of that team, but they were not married at that point. So I did play T-ball that was T-ball with my stepbrother prior to being stepbrothers. But we played and the coaches, you know, they pitched to the kids. And I think it was one of those leagues where it was like a 2 year difference, you know, third and fourth grade. I don't know the exact grade I was in, but it was probably like was third and fourth machine? Grade. No, it was your own coach would pitch underhand to you. I don't know if this is like unique to, I don't know, Oregon. Now, maybe it is, but
now what happened is, I'm not sure it happened here, but also, you know, third grade for me, I want to say is 2000. We're talking 2003. I want to say. Around 2003, maybe 2004, but as soon as you graduate from T-ball, it's something called C-League, and what would happen is you would have this umpire. He would stand on the mound with an actual pitching machine, and he would just feed it, lob the ball, and he would call the game while standing on the mound. That's the way I played C-League, and that was 1 year for me.
Okay, we did not have that. Maybe that was the thing. I don't know. I just remember basically your own coach pitched to you. I don't think I ever got to play pitcher. Wow. Maybe I threw it one pitch or something like that. I don't think I could pitch back then. But like, you know, it was kind of a two year different. You know, maybe a 1 year difference in age for everybody. And our team was bad. Our team was really bad. Our coach, I believe, was one of those coaches that always played his kid
at shortstop.
I think it was pitcher, if I'm remembering, or not pitcher. Yeah, I think it was shortstop.
Well, pitcher doesn't really matter at that league. I mean, if the coach is pitching, or if there's a pitching machine.
I think the kids did pitch.
Wait, what?
I honestly can't write. This was so long ago. I'm pretty sure I had an opportunity at one point to be a pitcher. I don't think I could reach the plate. But,
so that's older than you think it is. So what happens, at least from I remember, this was the rules at the time. If you had the pitching machine, you had a kid next to the mound, and he would play defense there. And then the next league – what happens is because the kid barely knows how to pitch, the problem being is they would give him a wide zone. Like it would be batter's box to batter's box. Otherwise, there are so many games where a kid now, you know how all these kids are on pitch counts now and they tell them, you know, they're like, oh, if you don't like the pitch, don't swing. There are so many times where somebody would pitch two innings and it would either go by mercy rule or if you went through the lineup already one time, you bring it to the next team. That was just part of the rules. There's so many times where I'm standing in the outfield and, you know, coaches, kids, you know, tall, whatever. But they would literally walk in every single batter, so it seemed, for the first two innings. And that would be like an even score in the third inning. It's like, okay, now let's play some real baseball.
So I think I remember what happened. I think in practice – we got to practice pitching. And I think at practice, the coach's kid was always the pitcher. That's how I believe I remember it. Maybe. Again, very long time ago. But I remember one of our better players, I don't remember his name, he got hit by, I think it was the other coach pitched first. And he got hit by that coach. Or maybe he got hit by our coach.
Yikes.
Oh, no, he got hit by our coach, but his dad was the assistant coach. So his dad, he was like, I'll only do it my dad pitches. I think the next pitch he got drilled by his dad. He never bat again. He was done batting. He refused to bat because he got pegged back-to-back times by the coach than his dad. And so that hurt our team. But our team, you know, we finished the year. We haven't won a game. And we go into, you know, they have like the championship game weekend or whatever. And it's like the best team plays the second best team, third best, fourth best. And it goes all the way down the line. So we played the second to worst team. We lost, I believe, I can't remember the exact score. It was like 12-0.
Okay.
Our team was so bad. Like I don't need, like, we probably maybe had like 5 runs the entire season. Like,
okay. So it was bad. I get it. So question, as far as baseball, I know you're very into it, but also I could relate because the another reason why I thought you'd be great at this was because I said to myself, you know what? I want to get myself into basketball. And, you know, I was talking to my father about this and, you know, it came to a point, Mikana, where, you know, as far as college, no one in my immediate family on my dad's side went to college. No one on my mother, like, you know, her brother or her two brothers, they nothing really went to college at all. Okay. So if we go by the circle, I'm the only one that went to a community college. And honestly, I was just at the time that everyone was shoving down, you know, school down my throat my senior year because, and I'm just like, okay, so you decide on this now. I could go into forever about how much of a bloodbath that was, and I didn't enjoy it at all. And they're like, oh, it's supposed to be the best time of your life. I digress. But as far as college, I mean, you either got some of the New York schools around here, which I didn't care about. I mean, there's some people. I mean, Yale, as far as sports, unless it's lacrosse, nobody really cares about around here from at least my perspective, which is actually kind of sad because it used to be like a big baseball program from what I'm told. But as you can imagine, UConn, you know, it's UConn basketball, mostly the women's. The men's, yeah. You people casually follow it because, you know, male sports over women's sports. It's just how it is. But as far as I kind of told you about how the Connecticut borders divide up. Now, this is the majority. You take the state in half. You go the Hartford line where Sam is, and it's mostly the Boston teams. As far as New York, there's two categories. Okay, so we got two lines. We got the Empire and the Metro. The Empire is Yankee, Giant, Nick, Ranger. And then the Metro is the Jet Islander. Now, there are some people that cross paths and such, but that's primarily the thing there. So when I was going into basketball, I know that you got to do research nowadays. It's kind of different, and it's quite the experience. It's like when you become maybe not an adult, but when you're old enough to research, make decisions, you know how good or bad ownership could be.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of thinking to myself, right? And everyone's like, hey, what are you going to do? And I'm like, not go for the Knicks because this is the second worst owner in North American sports. Ironically, though, I'm a Ranger fan, but that's because I grew up in an environment where, hey, about 70%+ of the world is covered by water. The rest is covered by Hank. Henrik Lundqvist, that is. You know, I dig the Broadway hat for the MVP of the game, you know, all that stuff. So that just kind of went into it when I was, I was a little past high school, but still. But I just kind of thought about it. I'm thinking, hey, a team that nobody talks about, that everyone sleeps on it, a team that's about building a program, ownership that's been consistent through all this time. And I'm like, you know what? That blue and gold swagger looks pretty freaking sweet. So I'm just like, you know what? Why not? And let me tell you something. I love Miles. I love Sabonis. And it's been a great year on my end. It's been very up and down, but I've been very excited joining the blue and gold swagger. I really have. As far as you being a Braves fan, was it a player again? Like, was it Ronald Acuña Jr.?
So for that, this was in 2020. This was when everybody was like, we needed sports. Like, we were out watching like Robot Fight League, and we were watching the most random sport, you know, that we
basketball.
Yeah, it was, you know, we were just waiting. And then all of a sudden baseball was like, we're coming back. And it was like, okay. And I believe I bought MLB. I bought MLB The Show. I don't remember when exactly it came out, but I remember buying it. I don't know if it was before or after the season, but I remember
that was definitely before. Like,
it came out before the season. Okay, which is perfect.
I want to say the beta was in January of that year. It released, I want to say, March. So what happened was everything was good for spring training. Everything was a go. But then once the country started to shut down, like NBA players started to get sick, all that.
Yeah.
When they shut everything down, they shut down baseball, and everything related to sports was in a dire crisis. And at this point in time, the only thing going on, like I just remember this, right? Like I was following a Washington radio station. We're thinking it's around a little before Valentine's Day or so, or maybe a little bit after that. But I just remember the only good conversations was what's going on with the Washington football team. Like, you know, the drafts going forward, the hires, you know, that seemed to be the only thing that was getting me through the quarantine as far as sports coverage. Everything else was dead.
Yeah. And so I bought MLB The Show 20. And this was something like I had had one other MLB game. And back then I really didn't know anything. Like I was so bad. I didn't know anybody, but I was like, all right, I'm going to get this. And I'm going to try and kind of learn how to play. I have not bought MLB The Show 21. I still play MLB The Show 20. I'm not good enough for me to like buy the new game to play online. I can't play online. I'm too bad at the game.
Listen, that's okay. And to be honest with you, I'm one of those guys where unless you're at it, you know, every week, I'm not going to say daily, if you're not at it every week, it's okay not to buy a sports game every single year. Like even my father said it like years ago when he was playing Madden. Fun fact, my father, did I tell you the PS2 story?
You've not.
My father, along with his friend Eric Palanza, I call my uncle Ego. Yes, Ego like the waffles. So him and my uncle Ego. Yes. So he is at the Danbury, Connecticut Toys R Us by the Danbury Fair Mall. It's a big place. And they are basically, I'm not sure if it's a overnight thing, but it's it. My father says it was like a camp out thing for the store to open, or maybe it was like a midnight release. But this Toys R Us in Danbury, Connecticut only has five PS2s at the time. Five, okay? And what happens is he's fourth in line. So this big shot guy that, you know, flaunts around money like one of those, you know, those evil cartoon characters or one of those villains in a movie. Now, mind you, this is a $400 system. He's offering people $500 just for their spot in line so he could go buy it himself. And everybody refuses because everyone's just like, dude, I've waited this long. You know what I mean? I mean, my father kind of regrets it, but he just goes, you know what? We didn't go out here for all this time. Because, I mean, it was just one of those honors, I guess. And my father's in his, you know, he's probably about my age at the time. Like, you know, getting like your early to mid 20s. And what was one of the first games he played on that thing? Madden 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's just surreal on those things, man. It's just, it's absolutely crazy. But even our last one was 04. And when it started to get going and going, he just goes, wow, man, it's kind of tough. And just, it's a big hit because back then it was just kind of like, you know, the early stages of these subscriptions we all do now. He just kind of thought about it and like, you know what, of all the things going on, it's a little tough saying, hey, $50 at the time for a brand new copy of Madden when it comes out in August, July or August. And mind you, I've played 07. I played 08. My buddy, the last one he owned was 12. And then I think that was a downfall. Yeah. It sucks too, because I remember picking up a Game Informer. And if you go by, you know, the Gaming Awards,
Game Informer was the greatest magazine ever. Yes.
So when I was reading this in middle school and the high school, all that, right? It's amazing how many times that Madden won the Sports Game of the Year award. And it just seemed like it was going on year after year after year after year. And actually, there's one year where it lost to a table tennis game on the 360. I kid you not.
No, that I think I probably remember that. And that was the golden era
of Madden.
like there are so many random games that like get put on. People are like, this is so good. And it was like, yeah, nobody's ever going to play this. Or maybe they'll play it for 12 minutes.
That was one of my things that I just remember is because I remember reading the catch and yeah, people for once in a long time, Madden is not in this category, is not the winner this year. And we're like, wait, what? But Madden was respectable back then. Now it's just a cash grab.
Yeah, you know, EA Sports, online gaming, all about the money.
Hey, as soon as you stop hearing EA Sports, it's in the game. Boom, cut. It stopped. Yeah. Or EA Sports big. Once that era stopped, downward spiral.
Man, that I turn on, you know, the old games every once in a while. And you hear that EA Sports. And you're like, oh, yeah, let me go play with LT quick.
My favorite game is probably back then, MVP Baseball 2004. Albert Pujols is on the cover. It is
hey, mine. So I turn on, or I have to re-download it. I pull out the Backyard Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, got to listen to the little intro. Got to draft myself Pablo Sanchez
and then get going.
Yes. That's all I need. All I need. And it is like, I could play that game forever. But in terms of the baseball, so I got MLB The Show. And because I just kind of wanted to play. I was kind of getting bored of Madden. I play an absurd amount of Madden, especially when it comes out for about 4 or 5 months. I play it probably every day for like really? 5 months. Yes, I play so much Madden. When it comes out and I buy 2K probably every other year. I'm not as much of a fan of 2K just because I don't know, they keep changing the system and it just makes it kind of weird. I don't know, not a massive fan, but I like to kind of keep up to see, you know, is it still good? I just play like, you know, career mode in that one, but Madden I play online. But so I get MLB The Show and I'm just like kind of messing around. And I started watching some like MLB YouTubers just trying to like learn how to play the game because I was so clueless. And so I was kind of watching one and he was like, he was a Braves fan. I didn't pick the Braves because of this guy, but like, I just remember he was a Braves fan and he like hit a home run with Acuna. And that was the first time I had ever even heard of Ronald Acuna. And so I'm talking all of a sudden baseball's getting back and it's probably a week before the season starts. And I was like, you know what? I tried once before. As a kid, I used to say I was a Rockies fan. And that was because in middle school, softball and PE, my team name was the Rockies. That was literally really? The only reason. There was no – I didn't pick the name. That was just like what we were. So I always said I was a Rockies fan. And I would check the standings every once in a while. And I they were pretty bad. I always knew that they weren't doing well.
Well, if you look at that division at the time, there is a time I want to say in the early 2000s where it just seemed to be really anyone's game in that division because the Dodgers weren't the Dodgers who they were today. The Giants didn't have those dynasty type guys. I mean, 2002. Well, see,
this was more like 2011 the Giants were good. Dad's a Giants fan. My dad's not like a massive baseball fan or anything like that, but he watches the World Series. That's probably it. I think he was rooting for the Astros. Shout out. My stepmom's from Texas, but you know. She's actually a Rangers fan.
Hold on. You do realize I made a big rant about this, right? Hold on. Did you know that the Rangers lost back-to-back World Series?
I did not know that.
Yes, they did. And ironically, because if you go over in certain places, like I'll give you a chance. You want to know what the number one enemy is in New York for me? Because guess what? If we go by just baseball, there's the Met fan, the Yankee fan, and then there is the third New Yorker, which means guess what? They got Yankee jerseys and they got Mets jerseys. And yes, they have had breaks of a couple of the years. You have one guy saying 27 rings 1 year. We're talking 2000, what, 14 or so, 13? What happens in 2015? You're an asbestos. World Series MVP coming. Oh, go shit in your hat, buddy. You're ridiculous. And let me tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, there wasn't a lot of these Astro fans that are pretty salty. You might as well drink salt water, because they're just gotten awful. And before that World Series run, when they were doing really bad those couple of years, when there's a couple of tank years where there's a lot of disrespectful years, some that are flat out embarrassing, there wasn't a lot of Astros fans. Sure enough, they're getting serious. They got something going on. Oh, guess what? Sure enough, Texas bandwagon. Oh, yeah, like they weren't Ranger fans within the last 5 years. Good yeah. one. Come on, give me a break. Freaking despicable to disgrace.
Yeah, well, my dad and stepmom are not major baseball followers. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, my stepmom, you know, she sees fans, a team from Texas. It. She is a big Cowboys fan, though, so she is a...
How's the wife putting up with that?
Oh, it's totally fine. I like the Cowboys. I'm not anti-Cowboys. I'm a big Cowboys fan.
Well, I mean, I know you got the Romo jersey, but I will say, I don't hate the Cowboys. It's just I hate the fans.
Yeah, see, funny story. There was actually, I remember the day or the day after Tony Romo got injured, we were at Home Depot with my stepmom. And it was just us two. I think she was wearing a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt. I think, not 100% sure, but I remember there was this other guy about 20 feet away from us wearing, I think it was a Cowboys hat or something like that. Maybe it was a sweatshirt. And this guy and this other dude walks up to him and he straight up and he goes, "Oh man, you a Cowboys fan? Man, I feel so sorry for you, man. Man, you had Tony Romo got injured. I feel so sorry for you, man." And we're just at Home Depot. And my stepmom was just listening to this. And we're just laughing.
This guy's like a country folk guy or something.
And he was like, "I feel so sorry for you, man. Tony Romo getting injured, man. I feel so sorry." And it was just like, and then of course, you know, Dak Prescott came in, absolute stud. But that's just quick, quick thing about it. But in terms of the Braves, getting back to that, I was talking with Matt and I was like, I want to pick a team. And this was probably 3 days before opening day. And I was like, we were kind of just going through the teams. You know, I wanted to get a team that would at least not like be horrible. So I was kind of just running through teams. And at first I kind of started with the players that I had kind of heard of. One of them, Vladdy Jr. And I was like, "What do you think about the Blue Jays?" He was like, "The Blue Jays suck." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like,
you do realize I was probably the most qualified to give you this information at the time, right?
See, I feel like we like didn't really know, like we hadn't really started up the network like fully yet or anything like that. I was just talking like because I had like tweeted it out and like had people voting and different things, and you know, people were commenting different things. And I was looking at that.
I also remember that
I was almost a Yankees fan. I almost did it. I was almost the Yankees fan. I couldn't do it. I was just like, I can't do it. That's too bandwagony. like
actually, believe it or not, it's not.
But people hear, oh yeah, all of a sudden I just became a Yankees fan. They associate it with bandwagony, whether or not the Yankees are actually really good.
Stop it. No way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You hear somebody and they're like, I mean, I know people and they're like, oh yeah. I know a guy and he's like, yeah, I believe he's a Yankees, Duke, and Patriots fan.
Oh, those are the worst. Hey, listen, I've seen Yankee Celtic fans, I've seen Yankee Patriot fans, and let me tell you something. These Yankee Patriot fans are absolutely god awful. They are the scum of this world's green grass, okay? You know how sometimes you step in grass and you wonder that's mud and that's actually septic connected to somebody's house? That's those type of people. They're scum, they're dirty, they're filth, they're terrible. An absolute disgrace, utter trash. It's human slime.
So I just couldn't, I couldn't do it. I kind of wanted to be a Yankees fan. I'm not going to lie. I kind of wanted to be a Yankees fan. And I'm kind of rolling through the teams. And I remember talking with Matt, and cause I had told him before, I was like, I kind of told him the story about how I was like, yeah, I like say Rockies, but like, come on, I don't know. And I thought about it and I don't think Dodgers ever crossed my mind. He tried to get me to be the Padres, obviously.
I can imagine Matt's trying to recruit a guy, but I mean,
he was like, yeah, you should be the Padres. And I was like, but Matt, it's the Matt curse. And I was like, your teams never win. I can't do that. And of course I pick an Atlanta team. Like that's going to have success, but
actually
Atlanta soccer did win a championship a couple years ago. So shout
I will say, let's just say this. You have a great division that anything can happen in. I think you have a great owner. I think you have a great it's kind of one of those teams where they stay – I mean, they got, like, the hometown discount thing going on. Funny story, Ronald Acuna Jr. was actually offered a five-year – I want to say it was a $40, $45 million extension before he debuted, and he said no. And basically they wanted to lock him up quick. And that's when they gave him that 10-year, hundred-some-odd million-dollar deal. So when Fernando Tatis Jr. combined with his rookie year and the COVID year, not even complete 160 games, and Matt goes, what would you give him? I'm like, listen, I would simply go 10 years, $200 million. But the fact they're like, oh, let's make it record-breaking, I'm like, okay, you lost me. Like, that's it was totally dumb. And
Lindor at the took end it of personally.
Okay, you can't say Lindor took it personally, because even though he got paid and massively paid, the problem I don't have with Lindor is he was arguably the best shortstop in Major League Baseball the last 3+ years. You have a guy who hasn't completed one full season versus the best shortstop in baseball, and if not top three, the last 4+ years.
Yeah.
So you have the guy versus a guy, and you have the, you know, the age gap, everything else. I will say though, Cleveland to me has a bad ownership, and they have a lot of guys that they do not keep, and they toss them in the bin. Now for this thing about the dollar amount, now, like if the media rumors a dollar amount of this quote unquote potential, you know that's going to be in his wheelhouse, and then the agent is going to go, oh yeah buddy, we didn't somebody mention this amount? Guess what, open mouth insert foot. So what happened was the owner was asked in an interview, what do you think about the next guy who could potentially be the next or the first $300 million shortstop? And he said, anyone that wants to pay him that could just have him. He's got 3 years left of team control. 3 years, McCanna. That means this year coming up and 2 more years, you don't have to give him that big contract. There's arbitration and all this, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have to trade him. He still has the team control for you to, you know, do whatever. And sure enough, they tried trading him and put him on the block for 3 years, asking too much, and they settled. They settled. This was one of the this as far as like, listen, I understand you had to pay the guy, but that was probably one of the worst trades I've seen recently. If you take out the dollar amount, it's horrible. On paper, it's horrible. It's just how it goes. So like I said, you picked a good owner. Like
wasn't even a part of my process, honestly.
Really?
I wasn't talking with Matt, and it wasn't talking about, you know, we weren't talking about ownership. I was just trying to get a team. I don't even know what I was looking for. I was just like, I want a team. I believe the only thing that was part of the process was how much money they had. Cause there was no way I was gonna be an A's fan. I was like,
thank God.
I had to look that was the only thing that I really looked up. I was like, I gotta see if they at least can pay people. And Atlanta doesn't have, you know, the biggest bank ever, but like I believe they're like somewhere around average or somewhere around middle.
Actually, so hold on, let's see.
I think honestly, I may be wrong. I don't even remember.
Actually, they're relatively high. If we go to a spot track right here.
Are they like 8 or 9? would be my guess.
They just, well, actually, a lot of teams went into spending. They're at 13th, but that dollar amount is $143 million. There's a lot of teams that cut back on spending. The Braves were one of them a little bit. But also, they've got a couple team-friendly deals. Like, if you look at the deal of Freddie Freeman and Acuña Jr.
Yeah, well, we don't know what's happening with Freddie. Yet to agree on that extension. So well, how much longer will he
this,
be there?
This is his second extension that you're referring to. So Astros really increased cap. Mets really increased cap. These Dodger fans are hypocritical because they talk about how Yankee fans spend. The Yankee cap right now is 201 plus. The Dodgers payroll is almost 256. As far as I'm concerned, you know they pay a guy who's not a closer in relief $30 million a year because of the Mookie Betts trade. If that's not a luxury, I don't know what is.
Hey, they got a championship out of it. That's all that matters.
Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse championship. That is a legit Mickey Mouse championship.
Mickey Mouse championship. The 3-1 comeback shouldn't have counted. Honestly, Braves were in the World Series. Honestly, that's what happened. Also, that's what I remember. I remember the Braves in the World Series.
To be completely honest with you, though, because of the thing that happened with the Astros, I will give it to them.
That's fair.
Now, mind you, right? Did I badly and still want a Dodgers-Yankees World Series? And is it going to give me heartburn throughout the complete ending of it? Yes. I wanted it badly. But at the same time, was I screwed out of a World Series appearance? I think so. But at the same time, if I had to pick between the Doyers and the Strohs now, give it to the Doyers, please. Please, please, please. Now, listen, even the Yankees don't have fans that beat each other up in the stands. The Dodgers seem to be very good at doing that. But still.
I mean, talking about beating up people in the stands, that would be the Padres.
No, there's actually a lot more. Okay, there's that one dude. But you know
that one dude. That one dude's got a hook.
But if you've seen it, right? I remember seeing a video a couple years ago. It looked like a bunch of these women, you know, they're like got their makeup on. They got a Dodger hat on that looks like they just bought. And they're hitting each other like this, like on top over their head. It's like you literally look like a bunch of anime characters trying to bop each other on the head because you're fighting over a guy. That's what it looked like. And sure enough, great. I get kicked out of the stadium and banned for life because some thought wanted to be stupid because she wanted to be petty. That's amazing. Keep doing it, Doyer fans. I love it. But back to really the baseball thing, if you look at it, now, I've always said that the A's need to move to Vegas because it's like, listen, if you want to expand the game, if you want them to buy free agents, if you want them to, you know, do all of this, right, attendance, I said put them in Vegas. And when Tampa's lease is over with, put them in Montreal, screw St. Petersburg. It's not Tampa. It's St. Petersburg. It's the ghetto, and it was a doomed-to-failure experience from the start. And it's actually the worst ballpark in America as well.
Oh, no. Yankee Stadium sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Seriously, Tropicana Field is the worst ballpark in Major League Baseball and one of the worst in North American sports. But going further, if you didn't know this, Oregon actually does have a minor league team.
The Hillsboro Hops.
Yep.
The Hillsboro Hops. Yes. Yes, I've been to the stadium.
So that's a Diamondback affiliate.
Yes, I did know that.
Is that in mind?
That was not in mind. I don't think I've ever been to a Hillsboro Hops game. However, I have been to games at the Hillsboro Hops, not really stadium, but like kind of complex or whatever it is. Cause there's like a football field and there's a baseball field.
Right.
I think there's another baseball field, but like for me, the amount of baseball players I knew last year was probably like five, maybe.
Hey, that's like, fair. And it's either the starting pitcher that game and then like a star, right?
I mean, it was like like before I picked a team. Once I picked the team, I was like, I kind of learned that kind of thing. But the amount of people I could count, I don't even know if I knew who Mike Trout was. I knew Verlander. I knew Kershaw. I knew Vladdy Jr. I don't know why. I just remember Vladdy Jr. all over my my Twitter feed.
Well, that's because
after the home run derby.
Well, he was favored to win Rookie of the Year, but the problem being is he had some weight issues going on.
See, but that was my favorite part about him. I love the massive guys. I love massive guys now, listen, when they're batting. It's my favorite thing.
Now, I know since you know you're a Braves fan, do you remember what happened to – this is a couple years ago. Do you know what happened to Pablo Sandoval in Boston?
Wait, he played for Boston? So, that would be a stupid question. I thought he played for the Giants.
Well, here's what happened. He was part of the dynasty with the Giants. But after their last World Series, he was up for free agency. And he jumped ship. So him and Hanley Ramirez from the Dodgers jumped ship to go to Boston. And the Pablo Sandoval reign in Boston was absolutely terrible. He actually went on the injured list to lose weight. They actually need – tell you what. You know the biggest guy to talk Giants baseball on Undrafted is Maddox. Yes. And there was actually – they had to call the hotels to forbid room service going to his room. They said that this guy legit needed an eating coach. And you could look this up. There's actually an at-bat where he swings, misses, and the buckle to his belt just explodes. You could look it up right now on YouTube. It's there clear as day. Swing, miss, pop. That's what happened to him. That was one of the worst contracts in recent memory. And so because the Red Sox were paying him every dollar, the Giants signed him. And since they were not, you know, not for nothing, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're not paying him. Why not? End up being a good thing.
Yeah.
Now with the Braves, well, excuse me. Good pinch hitter, I'll say that.
He's a monster pinch hitter. but yeah. So on the Braves team, I had heard the name Acuna. Like I said, I honestly didn't know anything about Acuna. I had heard the name. I didn't know who he was. The only player I had heard of on the Braves wasn't Freddie Freeman. It was Ozzie Albies. I don't know why, but I had knew who Ozzie Albies was. I had like heard the name.
Something for social media, maybe?
I have no idea where it comes from. I honestly don't know, but like I was like, oh, this team is Ozzie Albies. And I was like, I don't know why I knew who that was, but like I had heard the name before and I was like, all right. So I asked Matt, cause I was like kind of going through teams and I was like, one of the teams I asked him like a couple teams. I was like, what do you think about, I asked about the Blue Jays. I asked about the Cardinals.
Cardinals are Braves. Those are some of the passionate fans in all of baseball. A great culture, great system, everything. The Cards would have been a great choice. That's honestly very respectable.
See,
too.
Matt was very anti-Cardinals. He was like, no, don't pick the Cardinals. I really wanted to pick the Cardinals. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to pick the Cardinals. He was like, no, trust me. They won't be good. Listen, I was like, okay.
McConaughey, have you bought a hat yet?
I have not.
So as far
I can't
as
I- rock the – I cannot wear a baseball hat. I just can't do it. I can't wear a –
You can't wear a flat-brimmed baseball hat?
I can't wear any flat-brimmed hat. I just can't do it. Hold on.
I mean, if you didn't know, McConaughey,
I cannot do it. Here's a Jordan hat. I can't wear it.
Okay, but can I just tell you something? What happened? I want to say it was it's definitely the mid-2000s. Now, mind you, it's kind of, you know, kind of a little biased for a guy born in 94 to bring up the mid-2000s. But what happens is, right, during the Super Bowl, I told you my Patriot fan best friend and his girlfriend came around for the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
She actually – I let him borrow a couple hats too. because, you know, I just rocked the beanie for the most part. And then I rocked the fedora after the victory because, you know, I just want to pop champagne and take some pictures. But his girlfriend thought that you're supposed to bend it yourself. And that's what you do nowadays. It's like, you know, my father actually wanted because when I decided about this and he goes, wait, Pacers, right? And we're like, you honestly think we could root for the Knicks? And he goes, huh, you know what? No. But guess what? I actually ordered this one. He goes, you know what, man? I'll just bend this myself and I'd rock that. But literally, my mom, and my mother actually got the same Pacers sweatshirt, that blue one. Yeah, we actually ordered three of them off the superstore. I ordered some, you probably noticed it not too long ago, but I ordered some Fever stuff off there. You know, it comes to the territory. It's been a great experience. It really has been. But for real, pick the Braves hat you like and just kind of shape it yourself. You know how like those golfer hats have like the tilt mold things?
Yeah.
What you got to do is you just rock it. Obviously, when you wear it throughout, it, you know, breaks in a little bit. You bend it to the way you want it. It's never going to stay perfectly flat. As you can tell, mine's a little uneven. But yeah. Hey, if you remember, some of the best guys that rocked the suit said this: a hat's not a hat till it's tilted.
Now, I got to ask you something.
Frank Sinatra,
are you a sticker on hat guy? Are you a sticker on hat guy?
You know, I've had a bad experience with it. So essentially what happens is and I've worn a hat to work, especially when I had long hair, because, you know, essentially you get oil, dirt, and whatever, right? And you got to steam clean eventually. What happens is around the center, now there's a couple of guys where they had a lot of policies about this. So there'd be stickers underneath, right? There'd be like a silver one right here. You had the gold foil on there. And some guys would even leave the price tag on. But then
have you ever seen the Key and Peele video? That makes me think of that video.
Dude, I've seen these rappers that actually kept like the store price tag on the beanie. So when they're walking, it was like flapping in the wind. And I'm like, why the hell do you have an antenna coming out of your hat? Why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of guys where I got out of the sticker phase because one of my favorite hats, there was a Quicksilver black on black surfer hat. So what happened was the sticker ended up peeling off. There's no way you could put it back on. And essentially it looks like you have like a Japan flag. You know what I mean? You got one color here, you got the circle in the middle. It's a terrible look, and essentially the hat's bad. But the reason why I like sticker off is, the fresh, clean look does get a little old, especially if you go to work in it and such. But you want the age to be a little even to me.
Yeah.
I'm a stickers off guy. What about you?
See, I don't like if I buy a hat. See, I like wearing I wear hats backwards. That's how I wear hats.
I used to as well. Like I used to when I was a teenager, when I was big into skating, I would be skating every single day. I wore the hat backwards or I wore a black beanie.
Yeah. And honestly, like when I was in high school, I used to be like, why the heck did these people wear backwards hats? They're so stupid. I got to college and I just started wearing a backwards hat. And I was like, wow, I really became one of those guys, didn't I? But for me, I honestly wear a hat. My hair, very messy. I wear a hat to cover up my hair. That's really why I wear a hat. So I wear it backwards.
You're not alone.
And so for me, I like, you know, the kind of, I don't know what they're called, you know, the angled ones. I play a lot of golf, or at least I used to play a lot of golf. So I was like golf hats and things like that. So I was always used to the rounded, thing in the fit to head hats. I don't know what, I know there's a specific name for them. I'm not a hat.
You know, so here's what I do, Makana. And you know how we're both kind of wondering, it's like, they have like, oh, the flex small medium or the flex large, extra large. I got tired of like the fitted because like you, I got long hair and sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long. I found the perfect fixture and sometimes you got to rock where you do. And I'm a big hat guy. So in all honesty, go with the snapback adjust it no matter how your hat length is.
See, the stickers, I can't do it because my hair will come forward and then it just sticks out of it. And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Dude, you know how many waves I got in my hair? Like, for real. Like, Makana.
I got so many hats.
Grab this random hat. Ugh.
And mind you, I just got out of the ice bath and shower not long ago, but I hope this is my good luck charm. I actually wore this. I got Pacers shorts on. I got the City Edition jersey, and I got the Carhartt collab with 47. With Indiana, this is hopefully this is the play tonight.
Oh, see, I'm rocking OKC socks right now for Russ.
I'm barefoot right now. So I don't have that advantage. Maybe I'll throw on some boat shoes or something.
maybe this is what I got to rock. I'm going to rock the Washington football
team.
Oh,
my God. Oh,
fun fact, I have a Nets hat in my car as well, so I'm going to have to get that out for these playoffs.
How do you rock the Washington football team? That man is a bigger disgrace than James Dolan.
I love the team name. I was not a Washington, I was not a Redskins fan. But when they were like, we're going to become the football team, I was like, that is so stupid that I have to own merchandise of the team that just says the football team. So I got that. I've got a sweatshirt. I've got a beanie in there.
I just can't support anything about that. Like, I heard news this morning. They wants to make another stadium by 2027. I'm thinking to myself, I hope to God that this guy's imprisoned by them.
See, it's not supporting the ownership. I think it's funny. I think it's a funny team name, and I like Chase Young. I'm a big Chase Young fan.
If you want to support the gag, I get it. But I can't support
the gag.
I can't
is too funny. Organization.
Hey, that's fair enough. I'll give you a pass on that one. But final question. Got to wrap a couple up things. I mean, this has actually been amazing. But as far as Oregon goes, you tell me that if you're essentially in the Portland area, you go to Seattle. Obviously, there's the Mariners. And, of course, there is that Ken Griffey Jr. Era that got those eras. That era has A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez. So, essentially, if you go down south, you got the California route. You got the A's. You got the Padres. You got, I'm not going to say the L.A.'s, the Dodgers, the Angels. Yeah. So, really, you got a lot of teams to choose for as far as California goes. Is there like really a routine or like a formula, or is like you got to have roots to somebody?
People don't. Okay, so Portland is very north.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very
Portland
north.
Is right near.
You got
Seattle.
A Diamondback
15 minutes from Washington. So my dad's from California. So that's why he's a Giants, and I think technically he's a 49ers fan, but really he just likes to root for the underdog. He likes to watch football, but so in Oregon, I think if you're from Southern Oregon, you meet people that are California sports teams. But in Portland, which is where probably like almost half of the population lives in Oregon. Seems like it's all in at least the Central Valley, Portland metro area, that type of stuff. Like nobody lives in Eastern Oregon. It's all desert. Like people talk about Oregon, they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. And it's like, yeah, that's like one small spot of Oregon that's like really green. But like, yeah, so most people live in Portland and that's just way closer to Washington. I mean, you can get, I probably grew up 45 minutes south of Washington and about 4 or 5 hours north of Northern California. And from my house, the closest sports team would be, I think it would be Sacramento. It'd be the Kings. That would be the closest team. And that is about a 9 hour drive.
Yikes.
Maybe 8 hours, you know, if you, you know, drive really fast, whereas Seattle is like 3 or 4 hours. So it's just way closer from the north parts. But like I've met people from like Southern Oregon and they're like, you know, they just typically have a California team, but it's kind of random.
It's actually so kind of funny you say that because from my location, right? It could be about 3 hours to Boston if you want to go Gillette Stadium or whatever else. I think it might be a little closer than that. If you want to go 3 hours the other way, it's, you know, MetLife Stadium or the Giants and Jets. 6 hours to Philly and 8 hours depending on where you go from. About 8 hours to Buffalo. I hear 8 to 10 to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny
because another thing I thought of, where
it seems like it's a fair game state,
is the television show, like what the programs show, because obviously it's you know, West Coast, there's no team in Oregon, so you know, we have the CBS and we have the Fox game. CBS traditionally, AFC, Fox traditionally, NFC. Fox always has Seattle. If Seattle is playing, they're on Fox TV. That's what they're on. That game is always on. If the 49ers are playing, unless they're playing Seattle, they're not on TV unless Seattle's playing at 1:15 or, you know, on the East Coast, it would be the 4:25 game. It's always Seattle. In terms of CBS, it's typically the Raiders. In recent years, things have changed. Because Marcus Mariota going to the Titans, they did increase significantly the amount of Titans games that they showed at that time. And then now that Justin Herbert is in LA, they show Chargers games a bit more.
Oh, boy.
But the Niners are not a team that they really show very often, unless they're like the only team to, like, they don't show the Niners very much. In basketball, they show Portland for basketball. Baseball, I don't know if I've ever watched a baseball game in Oregon. Really show them on the local channel.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's kind of weird because there's it's like if you go California wise, you know, it's a wild. You basically got to take a plane to go to those stadiums logically.
Yes.
But you do have the Diamondback affiliate smack dab in the middle of the state. But I'm assuming most of the people in that area go to Seattle because it's closer.
Yeah, most people, especially for the Mariners, that's probably the most popular.
That's the reason why I wanted to ask you is I wanted a little clarification because on the East Coast, they explain how it gets divided up, especially the southern states. Like if you go between Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, you know what I mean? There's the Virginia, West Virginia. You know what I mean? There's a lot of interest in territory there, and a lot of times it'll go by minor league affiliates. But that's like if you go out west, it's like, okay, what part of you are you in the state? And that's like what's closer? Is there an affiliate? You know, that sort. I mean, I've learned a lot from all of this.
And baseball isn't a wildly popular sport in Oregon. It's not. You know, it's just really not. We used to have the Oregon State used to have a really good baseball team, but that was it. Like I didn't know very many baseball fans. Like I knew a couple. Like my neighbor was a big baseball fan. He actually plays football over at Washington State now.
Oh, good for him.
He's an offensive lineman. So, you know, we used to play basketball growing up, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
It's funny because offensive lineman in college football being, I think he's like 6'6" or something like that. But
The reason I asked that is because they were actually weighing like baseball extensions for like a major league baseball team. And Nashville is one of them. And I think that's a lock at this point. It's just a matter of how many years. But obviously, I think in all sports, you need to perfect the system you have now. And if every team is not making money, buying free agents and filling the stands, how do you expand? That's just my thought. Yeah. And I think baseball has the hardest time doing that. And a lot of times it is because of bad ownerships or they just don't know how to operate correctly. Do I think the free agency thing has definitely been a part of it? Yes. But there actually was an owner's collusion in the 80s that screwed a lot of free agency talks, and that was a big conspiracy, which I am going to go over. As far as Moneyball and the Oakland A's, I have covered it on the channel for you to look at in your spare time. And it just kind of makes me wonder if those people wondering about Portland, Oregon being in the expansion talks, I'm kind of thinking that this is a no. If you're telling me
I don't think anybody in Portland would say they want any sports team. No sports team other than the Blazers and Timbers would ever be able to succeed. You couldn't put a football team. You couldn't put a baseball team. The lacrosse team failed.
Well, technically, it's lacrosse, so we can't. This isn't Premier League lacrosse. America lacrosse, and I'll be honest with you, McConnell. I actually wondered about that because I said this in the undrafted chat too. It's like if you go by a school and if you go by athletics, right? Yale and a couple of the Massachusetts programs have a great lacrosse program. You know what I mean? It's like when you think of Yale sports, you used to think of baseball. Now you think of lacrosse. But I was kind of wondering, it's like in the Midwest, you don't think of lacrosse. When you think of the West Coast, I'm not sure if you think of lacrosse.
I grew up playing lacrosse, actually. I used to be a big fan of it. I played it through, like, I don't know, 7th or 8th grade, something like that. I somewhat enjoyed it. I was good at it, but wasn't, like, in love with it or anything like that. It was a growing sport.
It still is.
Nowhere near the popularity of the East Coast. I believe the best, I think it's growing in popularity, but it's not that big yet. It's technically not a league sport in high school. It's a club. It's like a high school club. You're in the lacrosse club. It's not lacrosse. It's not like high school football or whatever. It's like a club. You still play against the same high schools that you would if it was a sport, but it's like a weird distinction thing where it's not a 6A sport. It's just a club where you play other teams. So it's interesting. It's definitely growing, but it's so much smaller on the West. I have got some family on the East Coast that they were on the East Coast, now they live in Michigan, but they grew up playing lacrosse, and they really liked lacrosse, and it was so much bigger over there for them, and the skill level was so much better as well because they actually had training and coaches. Our coaches were like, how do you play this game?
That's terrible.
But they didn't grow up. Like, my dad's from California and he's like, that was not a thing. When he was growing up, lacrosse was not something that he grew up even knowing about. But now I got you. Kind of a thing that people do play it now.
So any closing regards, Makana? So obviously tell us where to find you. I'm not sure which Twitter account you like. And
oh my God.
Twitter account. That's some Kevin Durant action going on.
I know. I got way too many Twitter accounts.
And tell me when you and Matt are starting back up, man, because I'm really excited about it. I really am.
So am I. I am just waiting. Once we get the logo, we're back in business and we're going to be going out and we're going to be doing all the good content. And so hopefully it should be pretty soon. I would hope within 2 weeks. That would be the real goal.
Sweet.
So that's exciting. But for me, Twitter account, I'll just say TTB_Ravens. But my other accounts at Teo Burner, at WorstTake _. At McConnell _Johnson. Those are
Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
See, but my personal account has all the other Twitter accounts. My personal account says, I run these Twitter accounts. So, I'm not trying to be sneaky about it.
At least there's some credibility and accountability going on.
Yeah. I just like to have – I like to separate it. So, if I want to see Ravens stuff, I go on my Ravens account. If I want to see Thunder stuff, I go on my Thunder account. If I want to see just broad stuff, I go on the Worst Take account. So I get to see it all.
I'm just saying, if you got the thing on your phone, it's I get all the messages and all that. I can't imagine like you do you having like four or five accounts and you get the notification for every single group chat. It's like you click one, you have no idea what account you're responding with.
Oh no, that happens like every single time somebody sends something in the undrafted group chat. I will be in conversations with people and different accounts will be responding each
time. Like, it's like, hey, how we doing? One, two, three, four, five. We done? One, yeah. Two.
That's pretty much how it goes.
All right, so, boss man, thank you not just for being here and giving me this opportunity, but for everything. I will let you know when this is up. This was a great learning experience for me. I hope that this was a learning experience for you as well. And any other conversations, obviously, I think me and you are free to talk about this. And
yeah,
there's a chance we might have to table this. I know we have at least one subject tabled.
Yeah, and we're sports. We're sports fans.
We will go from there. So thank you, boss. And everybody, this is AJ Torres. This is Colin Strikes, courtesy of Undrafted Sports. And we always have good times here. And this did not hold back of any sort. So everybody, tell your mommy you love them. Tell your family and friends you love them. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time.